So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and their prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Would you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be life-giving and life-affirming, O Holy One, for in you is justice and shalom. Amen. So this summer, as a congregation, we came together in small groups to share with one another our experiences about God in this community of faith over the many, many years we've been together. Some of us a few many, and some of us a very long many. One story, one core value that we heard over and over again was how much you value the way our community nurtures and encourages each person to learn and grow in faith. That we don't tell each other what you have to believe, but instead we encourage you to learn and to decide for yourself. We heard how you are welcome here whether you believe or don't believe, whether your faith is solid or whether your faith has more doubts than certainties. You are welcome here. We heard about how we listen to one another's stories, to one another's lives, and how we're open to having your story shape my living and my understanding and my faith. That we teach one another the tools that foster our growth and then give one another the space and the trust in becoming who you are. And we believe that even if you don't have a clue who you are, even if you never fully realize what that means, we trust that the best wisdom that is needed to sort that out is found within you when we are community together. And we know how demanding this way of being together is on each of us. I mean, it would be so much simpler to say, here's the answer, here's the rule. The scriptures tell us exactly what we should know and think and believe and do, and we don't even have to question. It would be simpler. We could easily judge who's right and who's wrong. It would be simpler because we would easily see when the person who needed changing was me or you. It would be simpler. But that's not the way we as a community understand faith works. That's not what we understand the Bible is for. One way to look at the question is to ask whether the Bible is a rule book or a guidebook. Do we find there a list of instructions that answer every question of life and living with God? No. It's not a book of facts. It's not a book of lists to memorize. It's not a magic book that if we open the Bible and we find the right page and the right story, it will describe exactly what we're going through right now and tell us the exact next right thing. Instead, it's a sacred text. In it, we encounter a way of living together. In it, we encounter a way of being that guides our choices, that shapes our values, that nurtures and encourages us to grow in God's ways. Even the stories themselves, we realize, aren't always what they appear. I mean, unlike most books imprinted and bound, we know the Bible is really a collection of books. It's more like a library because it contains within it poetry and history, apocalyptic writing and parables. And we've been taught that you don't read your science book the same way you read your poetry book in literature class. So we've learned to look more closely at the writing and the story behind it. We've learned to seek out the context and the time and the place for each particular passage. What was it happening there? What was this being written to? What does the backstory tell me about my story today? And what messages and meanings would the original audience have understood that we might no longer know? And what does that help me know? Now, some might say that that's an awful lot of work. And it is. But if we take God seriously, and if we take following in the way of Jesus Christ seriously, if we take our faith seriously, then we're invited to do our own work, to understand our own beliefs, to live the questions life poses to us. Now, I've had conversation with some in my lifetime who ask, but what about the Ten Commandments, right? Because that's a list. They're rules we follow. We teach them to our children. We tell them, don't steal and don't lie, especially lying about somebody else. And the Ten Commandments are very clear-cut. They help our children get a firm start in living life following God's ways. They are an initial benchmark for what it means to walk the path with God. Just like the Israelites, they were people who had been enslaved for hundreds of years, made to follow ways that were not their own ways, forbidden to practice their own religion, forbidden to study and learn God's ways, forbidden to live them out. And so the Exodus happened, and the Israelites are suddenly free to live life together as one people, free to build their own society, and they were as new and as fresh and as young and as lacking in experience as the youngest of children. And we're told God gave them rules to follow. Begin here, God says, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie. Honor your parents, but most importantly, remember me, God, and honor me in all you do in life. So begin here, and we do. As a community, we do, and yet we grow, and we find that life's choices are not always between good and bad, right? Life has a whole lot more nuance to it than that. Hard and fast rules seldom work across all of our life. I had a friend, now deceased, lived for years as a missionary. He and his wife, missionaries in foreign countries. And he told the story once about a place that they lived. And a friend of theirs who was also a missionary. And she was being looked for, hunted by the local military. Not for anything she did, but simply because they could. And he knew, and she knew, that when they found her to question her, they would never see her again. And she would be killed. He knew this because this was what was happening over and over and over again and again and again to the people in their community. And so how would this time be any different? Well, one night he's hosting a dinner party and has friends over, and she is one of them. And in the midst of this party, the local head of the militia comes and knocks on the door and asks if he knows where she is. What would you do? If you don't lie, then yeah, she's right here. And yet life is a little more nuanced than that. You realize life isn't all about good or bad and right and wrong. There isn't a list of commandments long enough to cover everything we encounter in life. And yet, it seems that some of the scripture writers in the Old Testament have tried. There are more than 600 rules and laws and codes found in scripture, and yet even then, it's still not enough to cover the circumstances we have. He did not give her up, by the way, in case that's hovering in the back. Today's scripture passage continues to be for us the fullest description of how the church lives out its mission of training disciples in the way of Jesus Christ. We are called to teach and to be taught. We are called to fellowship together. We are called to break bread. We are called to pray and to be prayed for. You see, the passage reminds us that together they did these things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Together, in community, is where we begin. In community, we support and nurture, we teach and guide, we listen and we give space to one another to grow in faith. Together we share what we know, and we listen to what others know. The beautiful biblical narratives of resurrection appearances are powerful stories of community, of believers and doubters and strugglers gathering and breaking apart and gathering once again. We break bread together. We get to know one another. We learn from one another's experiences. We pray and sing together. We laugh together. And we cry together. And through it all, we teach one another the tools that are needed to foster not only our own growth, but one another's. In the space that's needed, trusting that you have within you, in your connectedness to the Holy, all that it is that you need to become who you most fully are in God. Amen.